From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
The voice of cinematic resistance, an independent filmmaker who has shaped other filmmakers and pushed audiences to look at themselves anew. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and our conversation today on The Journey is with Professor Haile Gerima, filmmaker and professor in the School of Communications here at Howard University. Welcome, Professor Gerima.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you were born in Gondar, Ethiopia. Tell me a little bit about your background and upbringing.
Well, I was born to a teacher mother, a playwright father, a father who wrote plays about the historical glories of Ethiopia. And I grew up under his, work, participating from childhood times, getting parts, sometimes going around our city, taking his advertisements, etc. And basically it is my earlier formation of how I wanted to go to the storytelling medium of even later on film.
Now, as you had that upbringing with the first name of Haile, there's the obvious question about the influence of Haile Selassie, who received an honorary degree here at Howard University.
Well, yeah, I was I grew up under his empire, or he was our majesty, and the name Ishu is a common name. The Haile part is a common name. You add Selassie, it gets to be a little bit religious name, but Haile actually means energy or power, and my mother called me Haile, meaning you are my energy or my courage. And my father had another name for me called Alamu, meaning the world.
So he probably had intentions of setting you on the world. He didn't know in just quite the way it would happen.
No, not at all. Even me, I couldn't imagine where I took, you know, this early background of my childhood.
So now, when you left Ethiopia, where was your first destination?
It was the Goodman School of Drama in Chicago. I was at that time concentrating in, getting more advanced knowledge in how to stage performance, theater, acting, etc. So I went there for 2 years, but then at a certain point I had to abandon that idea, especially in Chicago, and left for Los Angeles to go to to study at UCLA.
Now, you took an academic route from the beginning in terms of your interest in acting, as you said, in drama, etc. Why such an academic route versus going straight into the industry in a commercial fashion?
Well, initially I was into it, but then I realized the factor of race and sociology. When I realized that, especially in the West, the whole tradition of what I call the plantation school of literature, where the African race is an appendage to the white race, then I realized I was going to be completely used to destroy the very early background I brought into the picture. And so it was a way of protesting on stereotype and racism that I began, especially when I went to UCLA. I decided that I can't be a victim of history, not knowing history. So I studied, in fact, at UCLA, people thought I was majoring in history because I was a lot in the African Studies department. I took art history because I felt for me to be a filmmaker or in the theater, I had to study the literature, and then the idea of aesthetics, culture, painting, color, the psychology of color, and how people utilize that in their narrative, in their storytelling. And so for me, I didn't want to be just a shallow filmmaker. I wanted to have the intellectual legacy of the world and just understand the ideas and how they are deployed in the aesthetics of drama.
What was your thought process behind having an independent filmmaker type of thrust?
Well, that's when I realized, especially having come from another country into America, and then realized that my father used to just produce plays without even government sanctions. He would take us every summer, which is winter in Ethiopia, all over Ethiopia to show plays. He had his own mobile theater. And I felt, why not? I should do also the films I believe. I didn't want the forces of, I would say, the forces of the industry that looked at black people as appendages and stereotypes, in the sense that black people only will come into motion picture as butlers or servants or Driving Miss Daisy type kind of scenario that is very overwhelming in the Hollywood world. I said, if I wanted to do something different, it could not be produced under the present arrangement. And at that time, there were a lot of other Native Americans, African Americans from South America. And these people were looking for their identity. We all were saying, is this all we are in films, or do we have another texture or another part to tell, another story to tell? So the struggle in the 1960s, the political environment globally, the anti-war movement, etc., created a political climate where we said, we cannot just be a victim of the arrangement. We have to begin to be ownership of our stories. And that's where the idea of the independent film in my own way came. But then I learned, especially African Americans in the 1940s and before even in the 1930s, from 1910 on, African Americans have been responding to want to make their own films independently, especially Oscar Micheaux. When I realized I will not be the first, but actually a legacy of declaring one's independence in telling one's story, then it will just all become normal.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Haile Gerima. He's a professor in the School of Communications here at Howard University and a noted filmmaker. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. The independent filmmaking is your calling card. And I think if you have to have a signature film, it would be Sankofa. Tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind Sankofa and what it still represents today.
Well, it goes back again to my coming to America, and my initial journey to America was a colonized entity to just dissolve and disappear in the idea of America. But then the race factor began to eject me. When it started to eject me, I needed a community to find like a refuge, and the African American community embraced me and didn't reject me. In fact, for every little effort I did, they embraced me. So I said, So basically, I wanted to know, who are these black people in America? Because in Ethiopia, in fact, later on when I was making Sankofa in Ghana, what I realized is that Africans do not really know what happened to the deported people out of Africa. So I was so ignorant, I wanted to know, who are these people? They call me brother. I'm not sure they're my brother. Who are they? And so the idea of Sankofa came about to figure out the origin of black people for me, just to understand that they too came from Africa. And what the crucible they went through is for us, the Africans. It's for being who they are. And so it was a lifetime dedication. Over 10 years I worked on the script, over 9 years on raising the money, because it was a form of exorcism for me, because I was so angry at my ignorance to have come from Africa, especially from Ethiopia, a very pan-African history that I inherited from, and not know about what was going on to black people in the Americas completely was a big factor. And so I had to find the money itself in Europe and in Africa. No one would take it here, and therefore I had to create a very alternative, independent way of producing it.
Well, it was critically acclaimed. Sankofa, the bird, as you know, looks back. And as you look back, tell us some of the themes that you think came out of that exorcism as you just described it.
Well, once, I would say peace. I arrived to a very tranquil part of my life. I think pre-Sankofa, I was very agitated because for me, this issue of slavery and the disfigurement that resulted from this historical epoch, I wanted to say my say on it. And the response of black people across the world just embracing me and said, this is our film with all its imperfection, that just put me into another stage of filmmaker. I think I have entered another zone as a filmmaker in my approach to film language, or empowering our own film language, our own culture has become more real to me. It's not like a phantom idea. Sometimes you have your story, but what is the, is it in the language? Is it in the, how do you tell your story? And what do you bring into your story that is not done already? And these things look very escapist sometimes until you quantify them in visual terms. The way we shot the film, the way we approached even makeup, the way we approached costume, all these things were completely alternative. For example, just a simple example to tell you, I didn't want black people to wear makeup in my film because I felt the makeup itself has some stereotype connotation in my mind. So what I did was shave some of my budget and had them for 1 week under the sun in Jamaica just to tan, because I learned over the years that how black people's skin reverberates this reddish power, and I didn't want that to be covered with makeup. So what I did was just lay them under the sun in Jamaica for 1 week. They were all in the texture of color they had to be, the earth tone that I wanted to achieve. So for me, this is a simple example. We've done many things. We've tried many things. Sometimes, we didn't succeed, but it became a university for me.
Right. Absolutely fascinating. You've continued to use students in your films. They get probably the best classroom on the set. What do you see for the future of filmmaking and the African-American contribution to it?
Well, to me, African-American cinema, whether we like it or not, has to have two routes. One, those who are making an inroad in the industry. But at the same time, we also have to develop the independent route, because we don't want the world to think that the intellectual imagination of black people is so limited, this is what they can do only. And so for me, the route in America, even in Africa, in Brazil, is for black people to empower this two-prong approach. Breathe with two lungs. One will survive if the other it doesn't, or it will begin to complement each other, because I know how much Sankofa, for example, challenged the industry. A lot of people have written about it. When Spielberg was doing Amstead, they were watching my film in the production office. They were soliciting help from us. And the reason is because however imperfect our film was, we were showing for the first time that we can make a film on slavery without making black people just a bunch of victims, but people who continue to fight to take ownership of their human destiny. That, to me, is a normal human reality that often is lost in the literature of America, especially in cinema.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Professor Garima. And as the Sankofa bird does, you gave us a look back today that was invaluable. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.